Chapter 10. I visit Yarmouth. I soon felt more comfortable at my new school. I studied hard, and my old life at Murdstone and Grimby's bottle factory began to feel like a strange dream. It was an excellent school, very different from Salem House. The headmaster, Dr. Strong, was a good and gentle man, and all the boys admired him. I do not know if I was pleased or sorry when my school life was over and I returned to my aunt's house. I had become very attached to Dr. Strong and was sad to leave his school. But I also felt excited about being a free young man in the world. My aunt and I had many conversations at that time about my future profession, but I did not know what I wanted to be.
"Trot," she said to me one winter morning, "as we can't decide what to do and we don't want to make a mistake, I think we should take some time to think about this. Perhaps a change might be useful. You could visit that old servant of yours with the silly name," said my aunt.
"Peggotty," I said, smiling, "I would like that more than anything." Before my journey to Yarmouth, where Peggotty now lived with her brother, I went to Canterbury to say goodbye to Mr. Wickfield and Agnes. Agnes was happy to see me and said that the house had not been the same since I left.
"I am not myself when I'm away from you," I said. "Everyone loves and admires you, Agnes."
"Everyone is too kind to me," said Agnes. "Trotwood, there is something that I must ask you before you go. Have you noticed a change in my father?"
I had noticed. I know that my face gave her my answer because she looked at me and started to cry.
"I think he drinks too much wine, Agnes," I said gently. "Sometimes he cannot speak and his eyes look wild. And when he is like that, he is very often needed for some business."
Agnes nodded.
"Yes, he is. By Uriah," she said.
Mr. Wickfield came into the room, and it was soon time for me to leave for Yarmouth. Uriah carried my box to the carriage and seemed very happy to see me go. It felt strange to be sitting in the carriage as a young gentleman with money in my pocket. I looked down at the people walking on the Dover Road and looked out for all the places that I had slept on my last long journey along it. The carriage took me to London, where I planned to stay for a night before taking another carriage to Yarmouth the next day. As I walked through the busy London streets, I saw a face that I knew.
"Steerforth, will you speak to me?" I said.
"My goodness," he said. "It's little Copperfield."
"My dear Steerforth, I'm so happy to see you," I cried.
"And I'm very happy to see you," he said, shaking my hand excitedly.
We talked for some time. He told me that he studied in Oxford now and was on his way back there. It felt like a dream to see Steerforth again, and I did not want it to end.
"If you're in no hurry to get back, why don't you come with me to Yarmouth?" I said.
"I'll come anywhere you like," replied Steerforth.
I do not have words to describe the happiness that I felt when I saw Suffolk again. We arrived in Yarmouth in the evening and went straight to Mr. Peggotty's boat.
We walked together over the dark sand towards the light coming from the little boat's window. As we got to the door, we could hear voices inside. When I opened it gently, the voices became louder and we could hear clapping. I looked in and saw Mr. Peggotty's face looking bright and happy, and everyone standing around Ham and Emily.
"Master Davy! Master Davy!" shouted Ham suddenly.
In a moment, we were all shaking hands and talking at once, as I introduced them to Steerforth.
"It is a wonderful surprise to see you two gentlemen tonight," said Mr. Peggotty. "This is the happiest night of my life. Little Emily here isn't my child, Mr. Steerforth, but I couldn't love her more, I couldn't."
"I quite understand," said Steerforth.
"There is a person here who has looked after my little angel since she was a child. Like me, he's not handsome to look at, but he's an honest boy with a good heart."
I had never seen Ham smile like he did at that moment.
"What does this boy do?" said Mr. Peggotty. "He falls in love with our Emily, and now he has told me that she is going to be his wife."
I know that I was filled with happiness to hear this news, but I also felt some pain. I did not know if I still loved Emily. For this reason, I did not know what to say next, but Steerforth did.
"Mr. Peggotty and Ham, you are good men, and it is wonderful to see you so happy tonight," Steerforth said.
It was almost midnight when we left the little boat and went to our hotel.
"Emily is very beautiful," Steerforth said to me.
"We were lucky to come tonight and hear their happy news," I said.
"The boy seemed a little stupid to me," he said.
Steerforth had been so nice to Ham and to everyone that I was shocked to hear him say something horrible. But when I looked at him, he laughed, and I realised that he did not mean what he said.
"Oh, Steerforth," I said,
"I know that you understand those people just as well as I do, and I admire you for it."
"You have a very good nature, Copperfield. We are not all as good as you," he said.
Then he happily sang a song that Mr. Peggotty was singing earlier. Steerforth and I stayed in Yarmouth for more than a fortnight. He often went sailing with Mr. Peggotty and got to know many of the fishermen at Mr. Peggotty's favourite pub. I spent a lot of my time with Peggotty, visiting the places that I knew as a child, so there were many days when I did not see him. But Steerforth seemed to enjoy himself, and everyone loved him. At the end of our visit, Peggotty and her family were very sad to see us go, and we were very sorry too. Steerforth was strangely quiet as our carriage pulled away. I spent a lot of our journey thinking about my past and the changes that might happen in the future.